Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 84. Ben Flanagan of AL.com. Craig Hamilton of CitizenCraig.com.
Hey, this is Craig Hamilton and Ben Flanagan, and we're back with some Oscar seasoning. I guess this was the third episode?
Episode 3. Still alive.
I stand corrected. So we had the Golden Globes Sunday night. Pretty telling, even though they don't really line up with the Academy Awards all that much, but it was pretty telling.
Yeah, I think for some categories it's pretty telling. You know, some way more than others. I mean, when you look at supporting actor, the history of Golden Globe supporting actor, recent history anyway, suggests that this person might win the Oscar. But with director, that is not the case. Given only 6 of the last 15 people to have won the award went on to win the Oscar. So we can go category by category, but it's here and there where it may give us a bigger picture or an indicator on what might happen.
One of those 9 directors that did not go on to win the Oscar, I want to make a point of saying, was James Cameron.
Why make a point?
Because I want to rub it in, because I know this is going straight to his press person. Anyways.
I know his skin.
Well, okay, so we'll play Inside Out 1 animation, which is great.
Yeah, some recognition for Inside Out, finally, since it's going to find itself on the outside, you know, looking in when it comes to major awards come Oscar nomination time. Unfortunately, perhaps it gets a screenplay nomination, but that just seems kind of like an honorable mention at this point, considering it kind of felt like a shoe-in for Best Picture back when came out. So it's just going to have to settle for the animation category.
Baffling. Glad to see it getting some recognition, though. So were you watching Quentin Tarantino's very awkward acceptance speech for Ennio Morricone?
Yes, I was. Did something stand out to you?
I don't think
he had one of your Golden Globes metric sheets in front of him when he went off on the history of Morricone's track record.
Oh, man. That was just awkward for a couple of different reasons. But anyways, I'm wondering if that's going to play over to the Oscars as well, because I know Desplat's has a film out with a Danish girl that I'm sure is going to get nominated. So it's going to be interesting to see the legend who hasn't done a ton in a while versus the hot one now when it comes to the Academy Awards. No surprise that Aaron Sorkin, well, I mean, I guess it sort of is not really a surprise, but there's so many possibilities for a screenplay winner. And Aaron Sorkin won again.
Yeah, I thought he was going to win at the Golden Globes. He's a past winner. That screenplay is the star of that movie. He's a star, a big name that they could honor and put on stage, you know, as opposed to some of the less known writers who are a part of that category, perhaps. But, you know, I don't know that it's necessarily going to translate into an Oscar this year because of just how stiff the adapted screenplay category is, and with the momentum that The Big Short will have going into Oscar night. You know, obviously The Big Short was empty-handed at the Golden Globes, but I'm not sure that surprised anybody necessarily, and I don't think that it necessarily influenced how it's going to perform at the Oscar nominations on Thursday and on Oscar night. So my eye is still on The Big Short for winning Best Screenplay, and even possibly the Martian swooping in and stealing it. I think right now, if I were seeding it, then Steve Jobs would probably be third seed.
Interesting. Yeah, and we'll talk more about our Oscar predictions here in a minute after we get through these pesky Guild Awards that keep coming out. How about Matt Damon for actor? That's pretty cool. He beat out, well, it's comedy, so not that stiff of competition for this category, but that I'm glad to see him win, and I would imagine that would translate over to the Oscars as well.
Yeah, I think he's definitely somebody to keep an eye on. I mean, it feels like Leonardo DiCaprio's year, and obviously he's, I think, now like a three-time Golden Globe winner, and he's been nominated several times, so we know that the Hollywood Foreign Press loves him, and he was probably going to win that anyway. It was a different category in drama and comedy,
right.
And like you said, not much competition for Matt Damon, so that kind of seemed like a no-brainer that night. But I do think that since, again, we talk about like the face of the movie, you can either pick Matt Damon or Ridley Scott. Perhaps he'll represent the movie in the best director category. We'll see how that shakes out. But Matt Damon is obviously somebody who is very well liked and very well known and has had a pretty fantastic career up to this point, the same as Leonardo DiCaprio. They're both multiple nominees. But honestly, I think the press is on Leonardo DiCaprio's side right now, and the fact that he won the other night. They both won, and they both got TV time, but I think more people were talking about Leonardo DiCaprio's speech and his movie after Sunday night as opposed to The Martian.
Now, yeah. You mentioned Ridley, some kind of representation for The Martian and it being Ridley Scott. I'm looking at the director category here, and there's only one that does not match up with the Academy, and that's Todd Haynes with Carol. And while Alejandro González Iñárritu won for The Revenant, there's typically going to be – we might see Todd Haynes pop up later.
Yeah, you know, it's possible. It feels like Carol has just lost a lot of momentum, though.
Yeah, right. It really does. Yeah, I don't understand why that is, but you never know the minds of the voters. There's several things here that would be fun to keep our eye on, and that's how Carol pans out with the Oscar nominations.
Yeah, it led Golden Globe nominations, didn't it? And it walked away empty-handed, and nobody's really talking about it right now. I mean, it's barely playing throughout the country. I mean, it's not in my town, which, you know, doesn't typically get all of the indie releases, but I feel like if something has stars in it and has a real shot at, you know, making a push come Oscar time, it usually will get that sort of distribution push, but it hasn't really, and so I still haven't seen Carol. Unfortunately, it's at the top of my list right now of movies to see so I can know what all the hype is about, but it's not looking good for Todd Haynes and his movie.
Well, you might need an old-fashioned projector to watch it, right?
That's right.
It's really good to see. I always love it when Kate Winslet wins, since she won for supporting in Steve Jobs. She always seems so gracious and surprised when she wins, even though it's hardly ever a surprise because she's so great. But what do you think about that one?
I don't know. It's, to me, that is one of the biggest toss-up categories. I honestly didn't know who to predict before Sunday night. I predicted Alicia Vikander for Ex Machina just because Ex Machina was just so popular back when it came out and is seen as one of the, you know, vibrant and rich and original movies of the year, and she is a breakthrough star who is a possible multiple nominee. She was a multiple nominee at the Golden Globes, and is possible for the Oscars too with The Danish Girl also. So I thought that she just might win it for those kinds of intangible reasons. But yeah, I mean, Kate Winslet, again, she's a big star who gave a really good performance in Steve Jobs, and momentum is on her side right now. We'll see how it shakes out with SAG, and that'll certainly give us a better idea of what may happen. But I'll have no problem whatsoever if she wins the Oscar, because I just really think that performance is great and almost underrated. I mean, it's opposite a towering performance given by Michael Fassbender, and she really pulls her weight. And like you said, it's no surprise because she's so good.
One of the big things, I firmly believe that one of the big takeaways from the Golden Globes, if you want to take away something and look towards the Academy Awards, not only because of something that's been earned by the performance or the work, but that it's been, it messes with people's conceptions of the world of the awards in that moment. And that is the acceptance speeches at the Golden Globes. I think nothing can really derail or improve your chances of winning an Oscar between those two times than because the voting, you know, there's so little crossover with the voting at that point. If you give a good speech or a horrible speech, that could really change how your Oscar night pans out. And there's so much talk about Sylvester Stallone's speech.
Yeah, it was pretty noticeable. I mean, I was waiting for him to drop Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan's names, guys who are sort of like the real true backbone of that movie and the creative minds behind it. And you know, obviously Rocky is Rocky, right? And what so people are focused on Sylvester Stallone and he's responsible for that whole franchise and the existence of Creed in the first place, but I mean, people who have seen that movie and really know the story behind that movie know that Coogler was really the sort of the gas to the car, and he deserved the recognition. But, you know, once you get up on that stage and you're looking into the camera and the crowd and the big lights are on you and, you know, you've got that countdown in front of you, I guess your mind just starts moving a million miles per hour and you forget some things, even the chief creative people behind the production who really sort of made it all possible and gave you the support that you needed to win that kind of award. And I know he mentioned them afterwards and he felt bad about it. And it's been publicized now that he's corrected that mistake. And I think if he wins the Oscar, then he's probably going to thank those guys first. But it was definitely noticeable. And to me, Craig, what I found weird about that acceptance speech, it really felt less like he was accepting it on behalf of the movie Creed than he was
yes.
on behalf of the movie Rocky, as if
yes.
this was a
yeah.
correction for his not winning Best Actor when Rocky came out, and this is sort of like a lifetime achievement award for the whole Rocky franchise.
I completely feel the same way. It really felt like there was a lot of pomp and, you know, a lot of, you know, things at display with this, and it was just kind of like, this is for your supporting role in a movie that you didn't direct or you didn't write. Yeah, and it was just kind of like, I was like, you know, are you going to thank the kid that you acted with? You know, from the very beginning, I was like, well, you would think he would thank him first. Kate Winslet thanked Michael Fassbender. I don't know. I would just think, you know, if you're working with that person, man, you've got to thank him, and then especially the director as well. But, hey, you know, I mean, maybe it's just the perception of himself kind of gets in the way. And as you said, you know, your mind goes down to nothing when the lights are on you. I have a hard time talking when the podcast mic is on. So I completely relate to what he was going through. Leonardo DiCaprio, as you mentioned, won for The Revenant. I think that's, if he deserves it this year more than any other year that he's been nominated and hasn't won or has won. So I'm cool with that one. But Jennifer Lawrence for Joy, that's another kind of weak category.
Yeah, it is. And again, the competition wasn't very stiff. She was the only real Oscar contender who was among those five nominees. But look, I love Joy, and I think she gave her best performance in it. So I think they made the right call, and it'll be the right call that she gets an Oscar nomination, which she will, but I don't think that she, at this point, is a legit contender to actually win the Oscar, which is unfortunate, and I know that I'm in the minority of people who really like that movie, but right now, I mean, it just still feels like Brie Larson, who won the Golden Globe, and Saoirse Ronan for Brooklyn are the two who really have a shot at winning it. And Brie Larson's win was big for her. And I expect that to probably be the result come Oscar time, but perhaps there's still a long way to go.
It's speaking of the sort of the opposite of Sylvester Stallone and Brie Larson's acceptance of the Best Actress for Drama award. She gets up there and is just like a normal person accepting an award for something, a crazy performance that she gave. I don't see how that could do anything but greatly improve her chances of winning the Oscar.
No, you're right. You're right. The speeches are a big deal, and how you treat people and voters on this award circuit is a huge deal. That, you know, we have speculated in the past about how Oscars have been stolen from surefire winners before, because the more charming individuals have perhaps, you know, rubbed elbows in a more positive light, at least through the eyes of people who are actually voting. And that's unfortunate if you're not rewarding the performance and you're more focused on the campaign and whether or not you like the person enough to recognize them for their effort. It's almost like you're praising the performance on the campaign than you are the performance in the movie, which is unfortunate. And yes, Brie Larson comes across as a very nice person, and she gave a very nice speech, but her performance also happens to be great in that movie. So you wish that, again, you focus on the performance in the movie instead of all of the intangible just nonsense leading up to it. It's almost like I wish that the voters never met the performers and that they could just, you know, focus on that, but that's just not the way it is.
Not anymore.
Sometimes, you know, awards get nuts. I don't want to use something as severe as stolen, but I feel like that's kind of happened in the past and it'll keep happening.
So we've got Martian that won Best Picture, Musical or Comedy, and The Revenant won for Best Drama, beating out Spotlight, Room, Carol, and Mad Max Fury Road. And The Big Short, well, and Martian beat out The Big Short and Joy, which is interesting. Any thoughts on that before we end the Golden Globe?
You know, The Revenant winning and having such a big night, I think, actually does improve its Oscar chances. And I know people say, don't put a lot of stock in the Golden Globes. It rarely indicates what will win. And again, going back to our fancy metrics that we love so much, only 4 out of the last 15 winners of Best Picture Drama actually went on to win the Oscar. Those were 12 Years a Slave, Argo, Slumdog Millionaire, and Gladiator. And only 2 of the last 15 have won it in the Best Picture Comedy or Musical, and those were The Artist in Chicago. So that's obviously very rare. I do think that The Revenant or The Martian could win Best Picture, but again, the competition remains so stiff right now because Spotlight, which was considered by most to be the front runner to win the Best Picture Oscar, even in going into the Golden Globes ceremony, and The Big Short, which people, for whatever reason, even though it hasn't won much of significance yet, people think that is a serious contender to win. So I think we've got 4 movies that have a legit shot of winning Best Picture, and it's just way too close to call right now.
Totally. And tomorrow, that would be January 14th, Thursday, the Oscar nominations are announced, and we'll get to our predictions in a second. But now you have all of these awards. You got the Golden Globes, and you got all these guilds that are coming out with their nominations, and of course the Golden Globes have their winners now, and now you have a body of people that can react based on who they nominated. So I completely agree with you. You really can't take the Golden Globes too seriously as it relates to the Academy Awards, but it is pretty interesting that The Revenant had such a strong showing there at the Globes with actor, director, and best drama. I don't know, you can make some comparisons to 12 Years a Slave. You can make some, I don't think The Martian is The Artist or Chicago. Those were huge powerhouse awards contenders from the get-go. And, you know, it was only, they were going to blow out the comedy categories. So I don't really think, I don't know if The Martian has that much substantive push, I should say, right now. But, it's really hard to tell. It's kind of baffling when you throw those stats out and you say, well, The Revenant is such a great film. It would deserve the Best Picture if it won, but it may not win because the odds are sort of against it.
It's weird. I think one thing that, you know, puts it at a disadvantage is that Birdman won last year, and Iñárritu won Best Director last year, and you know, we've noticed in the past that the Academy is often not as keen to reward somebody's work 2 years in a row. And that you know, it isn't true, obviously, for someone like the cinematographer for that movie, Emmanuel Lubezki, who's going for his third Oscar in a row. But I'll even be shocked if he wins it, even though I think he definitely deserves it for his work on The Revenant. And I just think that sort of mentality is going to rear its head when voters are thinking about what, you know, they want to win Best Picture. And Iñárritu is obviously a guy voters really like, and he's somebody who gives a great speech and is obviously mega talented. And this movie has, you know, all of the parts that it needs to be a Best Picture winner, especially a huge star like Leonardo DiCaprio at the forefront of its campaign and of its marketing. But I still think that it'll definitely, it's an unprecedented thing pretty much if the director wins for 2 years in a row. I think that only happened, 66 years ago, something crazy like that. So that would be rare. That would be rare air for him to be in. So I think that's what's working against it, but I'm not ruling it out.
Okay, well, good thoughts on the Golden Globes. Let's move on to there's a couple of guilds that didn't announce their nominations in time, that is to say, before the Oscar nominees. So there's no real reason to compare nominees if the guilds announce theirs after the Oscars. So, and that would be like the Sound Editing Golden Reel guilds. We're kind of going to skip over those. Makeup, we're skipping over those. But we do have the Visual Effects Society Guild, which is, I think it's pretty fun to look at. They don't always nominate. You know, last year they nominated like 6 movies, and this year they nominated 5. And we also have the Oscar shortlist for visual effects to compare that to, and we know 5 of those 10 are going to get nominated for Oscars. So here are the visual effects nominees. We have Star Wars The Force Awakens, Mad Max Fury Road, The Martian, Furious 7, and San Andreas. And for the Oscar shortlist, Star Wars, Mad Max, The Martian, Jurassic World, Ant-Man, The Revenant, Tomorrowland, The Walk, and Ex Machina. So just a couple of little stats between the two. So the winner of the Visual Effects Award matches 69% with the Oscar. And then nomination-wise, 65% match between the visual effects and Oscars. And so I should go ahead and just say Furious 7 and San Andreas are not going to get Oscar nominees because they're not even on the short list. So that's only going to be 3 of the 5. So that's like 60%.
Yeah, I think...
Can you remember who I said 10 minutes ago? And before I started
well,
talking?
I think it's pretty... I think it's simply going to come down to Star Wars or Mad Max.
Yeah, because I agree. I think Ex Machina, those effects are so understated, but they're always in your face.
Yeah.
You're always looking at them. But that's pretty incredible. So I'm thinking, who do you think is going to take the place of the other two?
I don't know. I mean, it could be something like they tend to go for action movies sometimes. So did you say Avengers was on the short list or not?
Yeah.
Yeah. So something like Avengers or Jurassic World or something like that, that's just so effect heavy. Those movies tend to go recognized, but I think that, I don't know, Star Wars isn't going to win much at the Oscars and perhaps won't get nominated for much outside of the technical categories, and I think that's where people who obviously saw the movie are going to want to recognize it. But I think Mad Max is going to be the big tech category winner of this year's Oscars. I think it's going to get all. Yeah, I think it's possible for it to lead the field in nominations thanks to that. And if you know, if it can win anything, it can win Best Visual Effects, even though it was all practical effects according to most people. I mean. I think people will learn once it, you know, wins, gets nominated and maybe wins visual effects, they'll learn just how much CG was actually in Mad Max Fury Road, but it was done in a way that didn't call a lot of attention to it, which is why it's probably going to win.
Right. All of the visual effects winners for the last 13 years, which is when I started doing this. All the visual, I mean, I didn't do this 13 years ago. This is as far back as I could get enough information, but all of the visual effects winners were on the Oscar shortlist. So I think it's pretty safe to, except for, that's true. All the visual effects winners were on the Oscar shortlist. It's definitely not going to be Furious 7 or San Andreas, I can say that much. But then also, the Oscar winner for visual effects only once was not nominated for the Visual Effects Guild, and that was Hugo. I don't see another Hugo in here.
What's crazy is like I think The Martian is another one that could sneak up and possibly win it. It's got a lot of great effects, and honestly, I don't know why people aren't talking about the Revenant's effects, which are you know, kind of like Mad Max Fury Road, pretty seamless and amazing. I mean, gosh, you talk about the bear attack in The Revenant. I mean, that's some of the best special effects of the year. So there's a lot of good stuff out there
and
a lot of understated work out there. But I think, you know, the stuff that really pops on screen and jumps off the page, at least for voters, will be these popular titles that people obviously associate with having great effects, like Mad Max and Star Wars.
Right on. Okay, well, there's sound mixing. That's a guild. The Guild of Sound Mixers. They...
Man, finally we get to the sexiest guild in Hollywood.
I'm looking at years where the winner matched like 6 years in a row, and then went another five without matching. It's like 55% the winner. And only one time did the Oscar winner not get the Sound Mixing Guild nomination, and that was last year for Whiplash. Whiplash surprised a ton of people in a couple of different categories. But the nomination consistency between the two is about 65%. So the nominations for Sound Mixing Guild are Bridge of Spies, Hateful Eight, Mad Max, The Revenant, and Star Wars. I don't know, there are plenty of other films that could replace some of these, but I don't know where you begin to pick.
No, again, I mean, action movies are obviously big in this category, but I don't know how you can give the Oscar to anything other than Star Wars, but just because of the volume of sounds, the creativity that goes into creating previously non-existing sounds for strange characters and objects, and, you know, whether it's weapons or ships or droids. I mean, the movie should probably win Best Sound on the sounds they created for the BB-8 character alone. It would shock me, really, if anything took its place. And that's no disrespect to the other movies, which have great sound mixing, certainly, and sound effects. But Star Wars, to me, just has always been on another level, just in terms of the iconic sounds that it has created. I mean, there are countless different sounds that we can, you know, make ourselves and think about as examples. But, I mean, I think J.J. Abrams and his team brought new things to the table in this, you know, universe that has so much iconography. So it would shock me if anything other than Star Wars won.
Well, something I always try to remind myself, because it seems like this is a trend throughout the whole, you know, sound mixing history, is that it seems that musicals kind of get recognition in this category, and rightfully so. You're mixing on another level, as well as, you know, just the type of mixing that you would for just a film without a ton of music. And I think Straight Outta Compton might be the closest thing we have to a musical this year. But again, see, I haven't seen it. I don't know how much music there is in it. Can you add anything to that?
Yeah, there's a lot. There are several live performances, and yeah, that's definitely something to consider, especially considering the fact that most of the best scenes in the movie contain those live performances. And you know, I think the naysayer out there could say, well, they're just pressing play in lip syncing to the pre-existing music. I mean, but that's true for any musical, right? Where you know, making sure the music blends seamlessly and the characters perform it seamlessly is executed. So Straight Outta Compton, I think, deserves similar consideration.
Yeah.
Because again, the best moments arise out of those live performances.
Well, I mean, look, Chicago won, Ray won, Dreamgirls won. I'm talking about the Oscars. Les Miserables won, and that was sound mixing that kind of sound mixing had never been done before, I don't believe. So, yeah, it's not a matter of just pressing play, because so many of these other films have done the same thing, and you've got to mix it. You've got to mix it on like two different ways.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but something that I've always wondered is why aren't animated movies bigger factors when it comes to like best sound Oscars? You know what I mean? Because the whole movie, like, they have to create every last sound.
And you know what? I'm thinking the editing category, you might find more of the, I honestly can't explain. I've tried to do my research on the difference in the editing and mixing, and I think I can give a decent explanation to somebody, but as far as your point's very well taken, I think maybe sound editing might be a place where we might see some of that.
Well, you're right.
I don't know
why
sound mixing
is not. I'm looking at the history of the sound editing Oscar, and I see things like Finding Nemo and Monsters, Inc. and The Incredibles won the Oscar, and Ratatouille was nominated, WALL-E. So you're exactly right that the sound editing category is the place to be for animated movies. But even despite Pixar showing up in those categories, I'm surprised that more animated movies haven't won sound editing and more haven't been nominated. I feel like, you know, there are often multiple animated features that are worthy of the animated feature category or screenplay and things like that, and it really blows my mind that we don't see multiple animated nominees in that category specifically. It's you have to create all of that sound.
Yeah, you're creating everything. Yeah, absolutely. Who knows? I mean, those categories are just, who knows? I don't know. Can we go to director?
Oh yeah.
Directors Guild came out yesterday, right?
Two days ago?
Yesterday. Yeah. We've got Alejandro Iñárritu for The Revenant, Tom McCarthy for Spotlight, George Miller for Mad Max Fury Road, Ridley Scott for The Martian, and Adam McKay for The Big Short. So those are five nominees. On a typical year, four out of those will get nominated for Oscar. It's got a nomination consistency rate of 74%. So that's one out of every four. So that's better than one out of five. So the win consistency between Directors Guild and Best Director is 87%. It's pretty huge. It rarely do those not match. 2000 was the only year where the Directors Guild, the Oscar, the Academy Award for Director, and the Best Picture were all different. That was Crouching Tiger, Traffic, and Gladiator. It's just an absolutely bizarre year. But, you know, unless you take out things like Argo, which wasn't even nominated for Best Director, and Chicago kind of had the same thing. They decided to reward Roman Polanski for The Pianist instead of Rob Marshall for Chicago. You're typically going to see the same winner for Director's Guild and Best Director. But one or two of these five, and I'm going to think just one or two of these five are not going to get nominated for Oscar. Good thoughts.
Yeah, it's hard to call right now, because you look at all five of these nominees, and the way I think about this is, you know, which of these movies has the best chance at winning Best Picture? And if you are a real contender for Best Picture, then chances are your director will be nominated, right? And
I see all of these and I think, well, all of these are pretty much shoe-ins to get nominated for Best Picture. I think that there are some that you could, on paper, look at and not take as seriously as others. I think Ridley Scott, Alejandro González Iñárritu, and Tom McCarthy are shoe-ins to get Best Directing nominations. And the ones that stick out, I think, for a lot of people are Adam McKay, the guy who directed the Anchorman movies, getting a Best Directing nomination, let alone in the DGA, but a possible Oscar nominee, I think, will blow people's minds. And George Miller, who I think most people consider a shoe-in to get a Best Director nomination, regardless of what happens. So I don't know, Craig, to be honest with you. I don't know who falls out of this category because all five of them are contenders. And I don't necessarily think Mad Max can win Best Picture, but I just think Miller just has solidified himself as sort of one of the faces of the category this year. The only person I think that has a chance to get nominated who isn't in this category is Steven Spielberg. And I don't know, I think it would surprise me a little if he didn't get a nomination. I mean, he's been left out before, you know, in recent years. Like in 2011, War Horse didn't get a nomination for Best Director, even though it got nominated for Best Picture and wasn't a major contender necessarily. But, you know, he's just a guy who has multiple directing Oscars and is obviously the most famous director on the planet. And if he has a movie in contention for the big categories, you would think that he would wind up in the race. But because Bridge of Spies isn't really considered a Best Picture contender, even though it'll get a nomination, I guess that's kind of what's ruling him out.
Well, and I want to take this opportunity to go ahead and start our Oscar predictions, and we'll start with director. But I think you raise a good point. Iñárritu, every time he makes a movie, except for Beautiful, he's nominated for Best Director, it seems like. Spielberg, as you said, is the most popular, famous, well-known director on the planet, and that does not happen with him. But you would think the way our society works with presidential elections, with the Academy Awards, or with high school student body elections, it's a popularity contest. Why is Spielberg getting left out so often? Despite when his movie comes out.
You know what it kind of reminds me of, Craig? You and I live we're both fans of Alabama football and college football. And I think everybody throughout the country, and I hate to blend, you know, topics here, but everybody in the country knows that Nick Saban is sort of like inarguably the best coach in college football, right? And his teams win national championships year after year and are in contention year after year. But the voting body in the press doesn't consider who they believe to be the best coach in the country to be the coach of the year every year, right? So it's kind of like, or in the NFL with Bill Belichick and the Patriots, right? I mean, his team is always there. They're arguably the best team every year. But like the Oscars, it seems like they get a little tired of voting for the same people over and over, even though they acknowledge them to be the best at what they do. They want to focus on sort of the flavor of the week and the people who haven't had the opportunity in the past, like perhaps an Adam McKay or a George Miller to you know, many people's surprise. So I think that's something that may play into it, even though, I mean, again, the competition is very stiff and there are a lot of movies and people to nominate. It just kind of surprises me when Spielberg has a great film like he does with Bridge of Spies, and it's one that people are nominating for other stuff. How do you leave the greatest director of all time doing some of his best work late in his career out of this category? It makes no sense to me.
Well, okay, so let's do the predictions, and let's start with director. As you said, The Revenant, Iñárritu for The Revenant, McCarthy for Spotlight, Ridley Scott for The Martian. Let's just assume those three are going to stay, and we've got George Miller for Mad Max and Adam McKay for The Big Short. I completely agree. I think Adam McKay is the first one out, and I think either Todd Haynes or Spielberg are the first ones in. And David O. Russell for Joy, of course, would be up there as well. And I can't pretend to say that my predictions are done. I still have till tomorrow morning that I'll be making these changes on. But I think, I think it's McKay's the first one out. Spielberg or Haynes are the first two in. What do you think?
I agree with you. I weirdly think that the directing category is going to match what we see here in DGA. But if somebody's getting knocked out, it's going to be McKay. And it's, I think instead of between Haynes and Spielberg, I think they'd go Spielberg.
Cool. And you know what? What if they go 5 for 5? That would be something else, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let's go down to actor. We've got, I think DiCaprio's a shoo-in. I think Michael Fassbender is a shoo-in. I think Eddie Redmayne's a shoo-in. And I could be wrong on these, but I've got Matt Damon in there as well, and Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, I think you're right on the money. I've got DiCaprio, Cranston, Fassbender, Damon, and Redmayne. And honestly, while it's a competitive category, like among those five, I just don't see anybody else weaseling their way in. You know, Johnny Depp, there was a ton of hype for him with Black Mass earlier in the year, and then people saw the movie and changed their minds, and that's typically what happens. But I don't see him creeping in there. I think those five are pretty solid.
Will Smith with Concussion is getting some talk. So, you know, you can never, you really can't rule him out, I guess. I don't know. One thing that I do try to keep in mind when I'm doing my predictions is that the Academy loves to switch categories on people.
Yeah.
Is Christian Bale a supporting role or a lead role in The Big Short?
I would consider him a supporting role.
Okay.
And I think he stays in that category. I think he's got a better shot of getting nominated in that category because, I mean, it's an ensemble. I mean, there's the argument that the movie sort of like begins and ends with his character and that he sort of like sets it all into motion and there would be no story without him. And I think that's the argument for him as lead. But in terms of just screen time and how they share all of that with the ensemble, you have to consider him a supporting actor. And I think his chances are better in the supporting category.
Okay, so speaking of supporting actor, Stallone, I think, is one that needs to be in there. Idris Elba for Beasts of No Nation, Mark Rylance for Bridge of Spies, and Mark Ruffalo for Spotlight. In my opinion, those four are relatively strong. It's the fifth one that I'm just not sure. I think Christian Bale is definitely going to be in there. I just don't know where... Jacob Tremblay for Room, Michael Keaton for Spotlight, Michael Shannon for 99 Homes, who's losing steam. They're all on the cusp. But I, after seeing The Revenant, I have to say Tom Hardy absolutely has to be in this category. I don't understand where he would fit, but he has to be in there.
I don't know. I don't know because this is one of those long lists that's really hard to whittle down. And you mentioned the guys who – are likely to be among the certain nominees in Rylance, and I think Elba is one of those. I really hope Benicio del Toro is one of those. He's the best part about Sicario, and people love that movie. Sylvester Stallone, though, I mean, again, we go back to that stat of 13 of the last 15 people to win supporting actor at Golden Globes win Best Supporting Actor. He didn't get a SAG nomination. And I think that's huge. And I think that could impact, you know, where he lands in this race or whether or not he even gets nominated. I think he gets nominated. I'm not going to go out on a crazy limb and say he doesn't. But that little wrinkle in it, the lack of a SAG nomination is really kind of freaking me out in terms of, you know, shaking this particular race up. So I'm with you. I think Stallone, Rylance, and Elba definitely get in. I think Christian Bale will get in for The Big Short, and that leaves the fourth spot open. And I think it's going to be Benicio del Toro, but I've just got a weird suspicion that Jacob Tremblay is going to get a nomination for Room because of Academy. The Academy has a knack for nominating young people, and people seem to really love this movie, and Brie Larson seems like a shoo-in to possibly win it. I think that the movie really belongs to Jacob Tremblay, and he is actually the lead of that movie, even more so than Brie Larson. So I don't know. Something tells me he gets in.
You raised very good points. Do you think Mark Ruffalo could get left out?
Yeah, for sure, because I think they have trouble I think there's going to be a lot of trouble figuring out whether or not it should be Ruffalo or Keaton to get the nomination for Spotlight. If it were up to me, I would go with Keaton for sure. I would even go with Liv Schreiber ahead of both of them, and I'm surprised that he's not part of it.
That would not be good for Spotlight's overall clout, I would think, if it got left out of acting.
Yeah, especially with the ensemble that they have, which is just amazing. You would think somebody would come out of there, but again, this is just a tough category.
Okay, so actress. I've got Kate Blanchett for Carol, I think, is a lock for a nomination, as Brie Larson for Room and Saoirse Ronan for Brooklyn. I think Jennifer Lawrence at this point is most definitely going to get nominated. But then you've got a couple of other actresses like Charlotte Rampling for 45 Years that I think she'll round it out. But, you know, Helen Mirren for Woman in Gold, I'll never see this movie. I don't know where I could go find it. And they nominate her for a commercial. But she had the SAG nomination. But I think Emily Blunt's Sicario won't get nominated, but I wanted to mention her because I think she's very good in that. But I think the five that I mentioned is pretty solid. What about you?
This one seems solid to me, too. Just Larson, Ronan, Jennifer Lawrence, and Kate Blanchett seem like sure things. And yeah, I'm with you. I think Charlotte Rampling will get the fifth nomination.
So that leaves supporting actress. So we got Rooney Mara for Carol, Kate Winslet for Steve Jobs. I put Rachel McAdams for Spotlight because this is such a, you know, this movie is getting so much push, but she's the only female actress in it. She's a great actress. But I'm just not sure. Alicia Vikander for The Danish Girl and Jennifer Jason Leigh for Hateful Eight. Those are my five, but you also got Helen Mirren for Trumbo and Vikander for Ex Machina that could jump in there.
Yeah, I think Vikander is going to get nominated for something, whether it's Ex Machina or Danish Girl. I'm going to go with Ex Machina. I think Rooney Mara gets nominated, Kate Winslet gets nominated, Jennifer Jason Leigh, and I think Helen Mirren probably gets the fifth nomination. But Kristen Stewart for this movie, Clouds of Silmaria, few people have seen this, but she has absolutely cleaned up in the critics' precursors leading up to this. Yeah, it feels like she has no Oscar momentum whatsoever. And again, you look to SAG as the indicator there, but I don't know. She's somebody, I think, whose name we could hear on Thursday, but I think Helen Mirren, just like you said, they'll nominate her for whatever, and maybe she gives a great performance in Trumbo. SAG obviously loves her, nominated her twice, so I think she probably manages to get one for Trumbo.
Adapted screenplay, it's absolutely packed. The Big Short, Steve Jobs, and Room are my basic locks there. Then you've also got Carol, Brooklyn, The Martian, The Revenant, and Trumbo.
Tough. Really tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I to be honest with you, I don't think Trumbo gets nominated. I think, you're right. Steve Jobs, The Big Short, and Carol seem like sure things. I think The Martian definitely gets nominated. And then I think it comes down to Room or Brooklyn. And I think more people right now are talking about Room. So in the actual author adapted her own book into the screenplay. So I think that's what people are going to go for. I'm kind of pulling for Brooklyn because I love that movie and that script is so good. But I think Room is going to get the nomination.
Original screenplay, Bridge of Spies, Spotlight, Hateful Eight. I have Inside Out, and I also have Sicario. Straight Out of Compton and Ex Machina are the two next in on my list.
Yeah, another tough one. Perhaps not as packed as Adapted, but yes, Spotlight, Inside Out, and the Hateful Eight to me are the locks. I think Spotlight's going to win this Oscar, by the way. And then after that, I think it gets a little cloudier. I think Ex Machina gets a nomination. I really do. And beyond that, it's going to be between Sicario and Bridge of Spies, I think. I'll be a little surprised if Trainwreck or Straight Outta Compton gets an Oscar nomination.
Oof. Yeah.
So I'm going to go with either, if I have to pick between Bridge of Spies or Sicario, I'll probably go with Sicario just in terms of what I think will get nominated.
Yeah. Okay. Original score, man, there's just absolutely, it's so difficult. I've got The Revenant. I think that's going to get it. The Danish Girl is definitely going to get nominated. Hateful Eight is definitely going to get nominated. And I've got Inside Out and The Force Awakens. But there's also Mad Max and Bridge of Spies. So I'm in the dark on this.
Man, how awesome would it be if John Williams and Ennio Morricone were both up for score? And I think that's going to happen for sure. And I'm glad. And I think Morricone is probably going to win, even though I've wondered about its eligibility. You know, going in, I haven't heard anything about it being ineligible, especially when you factor in the whole backstory that he used music that he had intended to be in the movie The Thing, the John Carpenter Thing.
Oh, yeah.
Remake. So, yeah, I don't think that's going to be considered because it wasn't. It wasn't used in that movie. So, I guess since it wasn't used in that movie, then, you know, he can do whatever he pleases with it. So, it ended up in The Hateful Eight, and now it's The Hateful Eight score. So, yeah, I think Hateful Eight gets nominated. I think Star Wars for sure gets nominated. Inside Out, it would be a crime if Michael Giacchino didn't get nominated. That's one of his best scores ever. He's a past winner. So, I expect that to be in there. I haven't heard Carol's score, but I hear that it's a near lock to get nominated, so I assume that Carter Burwell, the longtime Coen Brothers collaborator, will get his first Oscar nomination, which is insanity to me that he hasn't gotten one so far, but it would be nice to see him finally get recognized. And after that, you know, they often go for these period, just like sprawling, scorey movie scores, you know, so it wouldn't surprise me if a great score like Sicario's or Spotlight got left out in favor of something like Alexandra Desplat's Danish Girl score. You know, the Imitation Game got nominated last year and people thought it might even win. So I expect something like that instead of one of those others. And there are lots of good ones that are going to get left out, like Steve Jobs and The Martian. And, you know, even Thomas Newman's score for Bridge of Spies is really good. But I think it gets left out in favor of something like The Danish Girl.
Okay, so cinematography. I've got Mad Max Fury Road. I think that's definitely in. Revenant's in. Hateful Eight is in. I think Sicario is in. I've got Carol. So that leaves Bridge of Spies and The Martian as my next two in. Do you have anything different?
You know, I honestly, the four you mentioned, Carol, Mad Max, The Revenant, and Sicario, I think are undisputed locks. I think this fifth spot is really tricky, and I think it comes down to Bridge of Spies and The Hateful Eight. And you're talking about two cinematographer titans in Janusz Kaminski and Robert Richardson, and for me it's really tough to pick. But I honestly, Craig, like I would just kind of be surprised if Robert Richardson in The Hateful Eight cinematography gets snubbed just because of the emphasis that was put on the way this movie was shot in the presentation of 70mm and how much love went into preserving film and using it. And Robert Richardson obviously takes advantage of the canvas and does a really phenomenal job. So I think the fact that movie's whole marketing campaign was almost centered around The Hateful Eight's look in presentation, I think that it ends up getting it a cinematography nomination. So I think that Janusz Kaminski is the odd man out.
All right, what do you think about film editing?
I don't really have a great grasp on what voters tend to look for outside of, is this movie a contender for Best Picture, or was the editing noticeable enough to sort of like the naked eye among filmgoers, right? Because if you're a serious contender to win Best Picture, you better be in the editing category. And that's just been true in the recent past. I'm sure it'll be true this time. You know, last year, a Best Picture, a film that wasn't even nominated, won Best Editing in Whiplash, and obviously the editing was pretty snazzy, and it's something that people talked about. leaving that movie. I'm not sure that outside of maybe something like The Big Short or even Mad Max, there's anything out there that people might offer up as like the real editing all-stars this year in terms of like your average moviegoer. But you know, what we saw with the Eddies is probably going to be true for the category, but I just expect a bunch of movies that we already talk about in terms of the Best Picture and Director race. Those are what we're going to see.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think Revenant, Mad Max, The Big Short, obviously, and Spotlight, right? If Spotlight's going to have any muster in the Best Picture race, it's got to have this editing, I would think. What do you think?
No, I agree, for sure, like you said. And that just seems to have been the narrative for the past several years. If you want to win Best Picture, you need to be in this category. And if Spotlight doesn't make this category, then that is our first big indicator that it may have lost all of its momentum in the big picture race. So, I expect it to be there for sure. But I also expect a handful of the ones you mentioned. I think Mad Max gets in. I think The Revenant gets in. The Martian and The Big Short, I think those are all pretty much locks. So that leaves a spot for Spotlight. It leaves a spot for Star Wars The Force Awakens. It leaves a spot for Sicario. I mean, these movies all have great editing, and they're all juggling a bunch of different narratives and subplots and characters and sequences, and there's some really great work on display. So I can't really give you, like, the five that I think will – for sure be nominated, but I just think it's going to be a lot of stuff we've already been talking about.
I also got to think maybe Bridge of Spies and Joy are on the short list of those either getting in or getting left out.
Yeah, we talked before, too, about The Hateful Eight and its editing in terms of sort of handling all of the back and forth between the characters, as much dialogue as Quentin Tarantino always has with his movies. Sort of ramping up the paranoia, the sense of paranoia that he tried to create. And tonally, I think that the editing goes a long way in achieving that. So that's another one that could creep in, but I don't necessarily expect it to.
So we went over sound mixing, The Guild. So I'm thinking Star Wars, Mad Max, The Martian, The Revenant. And I'm putting in Straight Outta Compton. I've got Inside Out and Sicario as the others that could fit in, and I may be missing something. Did you have any additional films you had in yours?
No, like I said before, I would keep my eye on the action movies, especially since the genre tends to show here. So I would look out for things like Spectre and Jurassic World and Avengers and even maybe Mission Impossible as movies that could sneak in, but I think you're pretty much on the money.
Yeah, and that's another thing. The James Bond movies, it's always a good idea to include those in your predictions for the sound categories, I think. So sound editing, I basically have the exact same thing, except I think I have Sicario in there.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And, I hope, again, going back to our animation conversation, I hope Inside Out winds up here. And otherwise, then what are we doing here? But I think, again, this is Star Wars and Mad Max's category.
Right. The Inside Out, just the lack of Inside Out recognition, it never ceases to kind of bug me. It's just cerebrally on a completely another level of movie, I think, especially in regards to just Pixar, but just watching a movie that I've got a good friend that is a child psychologist, a very knowledgeable and decorated one, and this friend said that people many, many times have been trying to put into words or to illustrate how the human mind and the psyche works with emotions and how that works together. And Inside Out is by far the best thing this person has ever seen that tries to illustrate that. So I'm really kind of baffled. But anyways, anger is about to take over. So I should just back off. Okay, so art direction. Sorry about that little inside out tangent. I'm off my soapbox now.
No, it's art direction.
I've got for art direction. I don't see how. I think Mad Max gets in. I think The Revenant gets in. I don't know. There's so many here that are going to get left out. But I've got The Revenant. I've got Cinderella. I've got Mad Max, Bridge of Spies, and either Carol or Crimson Peak.
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, keep your eye on period pieces here because
right.
they tend to do really well. And yeah, Bridge of Spies and Carol, Brooklyn and Crimson Peak, like you mentioned, are ones that certainly are going to be contenders here. But yeah, I mean, the tech categories, I think, are just going to be almost universally dominated by Mad Max and Star Wars. And there was such a celebration, again, of like sort of the more practical design in comparison to the prequels that we saw in Star Wars. And the sets certainly played a huge part in that, and helping to build upon the existing universe with some fantastic practical sets here was really a big reason, I think, people responded to The Force Awakens. So I think that it's going to get a nomination.
Oh yeah, that'd be wonderful. I mean, if there's anything worth anything that you can take away from Crimson Peak, that's worth a crap. I would think it would be art direction.
Wow, high praise, Craig.
Costume design. You know, you can go and look at the costume designers, and I think you can probably make a pretty good guess at the usual suspects, but mine are pretty close. I think Carol, Crimson Peak, I think The Danish Girl, Cinderella, and Mad Max get in. Of course, The Force Awakens, Brooklyn are also up there.
You know, I'll defer to you. I do hope that Brooklyn gets in, and all of what I don't know that The Revenant will get nominated, but just the different animal furs and pelts that they use to create
yeah.
a lot of the costumes, I thought were really interesting. But yeah, I
mean,
think what you said is probably right.
The Academy could just go ham with Revenant and just throw it everywhere. It could get
yeah.
in everywhere.
It,
every
I think you'll get a
single
lot.
Category.
Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't that be a crazy surprise to see Revenant beat like Titanic or whoever has the most nominations? and another just failure for James Cameron. who won the Golden Globe for director and did not for Oscar? Makeup category, I've got Mad Max, The Revenant, and insert random film here. I'm thinking a little research has me going after maybe Black Mass, but
yeah.
you know, there's also Concussion, Legend, and Mr. Holmes.
Yeah, you know, the three you mentioned, I think, are the ones, especially that last one, Black Mass, how everybody really made a point to emphasize how unrecognizable Johnny Depp was in that movie, and that became a larger storyline than the actual film itself, almost. But yeah, I think this one comes down to Mad Max and The Revenant, the just really phenomenal makeup work
yeah.
in those movies.
Visual effects, we went over that earlier with the short list.
Yeah.
But it's really, man, it's so tough to see how, to see where the mind's at on this branch of the Academy. Obviously you would think Mad Max is getting in, right? You would think Star Wars. But I also have The Martian. I have Jurassic World. And I've got I've got Avengers. But you never know. Could they be going with how we talked about Ex Machina looks fabulous, The Revenant, understated effects, or The Walk?
Yeah.
Which is all effect. You know, it's just all effects.
Yeah. It was one of the most effects-driven movies of the year. And you know, the whole 3D aspect of it, how it was shot for that purpose and was made to be an immersive experience for the audience using special effects and you know, the way that Robert Zemeckis has obviously become famous for doing. And I watched The Walk recently, and it's a fine movie. It's a nice little unnecessary but good movie that I think people tend to respond to, and just that it's just a total crowd pleaser. But, you know, I hate that I didn't get to see it on the biggest screen I could, because, I mean, that final, that climactic half hour, it's just really amazing. And I'm sure for people who got to see it in the theater, it was that much better. And the effects really go a long way there.
If only I could have seen it in real life as it happened.
I know. I can't imagine what it was like for people who were watching that.
Okay, well, I'm not going to do foreign. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the expertise on what's out there right now. And quite frankly, I don't have a lot of faith in this category as far as them nominating the best ones. Too many times I've seen, and there have been complaints among fans of keeping up with, you know, the Oscar race that complain that the members who are supposed to see every movie don't see all the movies. They don't really vote based on, you know, the movies they see. It's so difficult to see, what, like 50 movies in a foreign language to be able to know what to vote for. So I'll leave that out of my predictions. Do you have any thoughts on who you think might get nominated?
Well, I mean, the one foreign film, unfortunately, that people are talking about, not unfortunate because of this movie, but just because I know that there's always just a bevy of really great foreign cinema that comes out year to year, yet the only one that really has had traction with people in the United States seems to be this Hungarian movie, Son of Saul, which won the Golden Globe, and I definitely expect it to get the Oscar nomination and possibly to win, but I'm with you in that I can't predict this category. I don't really understand the technicality, the rule that you can only have one movie per country, and I just really feel like it limits the category, and there have been situations in the past where there have been multiple great movies in one year, and only one of those movies was able to represent its country, and it just completely screws up the category for me personally watching it. But what I do like about it is, you know, when I'm watching the presentation and I finally get to see footage of these movies and get to see the filmmakers involved, it at least is a nice introduction to the work that these people are doing internationally, and it makes me want to put these movies on my Netflix queue. And honestly, what I know about Son of Saul is really intriguing. It sounds like a really powerful story. It looks great, and I can't wait to see it. But I that's the only one I really honestly have any knowledge of.
Yeah. Yeah, same here. That's absolutely the only one. So, you know, good luck to it, and good luck to any other movie trying to get in to this crazy category. Animated. We both know what each other's. I assume Inside Out is your favorite animated movie of the year.
Well,
you're close.
Yeah, it is for sure. It's one of my favorite movies of the year, but. You know, when I saw The Good Dinosaur, it made that a little harder to distinguish, and I wish people would give that movie the same chance that they gave Inside Out, because to me, that's just Pixar being Pixar and delivering yet another great film. The fact that we get two in one year is a treat, and I expect both to be nominated. And in fact, you know, I think that this category has been pretty predictable for a while now, in that the same five movies keep popping up on different lists and Golden Globes. So you've got the two Pixar movies. You've got Shaun the Sheep, which was really critically praised,
right,
and beloved. You've got the Peanuts movie, and then you've got this Charlie Kaufman stop-motion movie, Anomalisa. So those are the five that I expect, and I expect Inside Out to win.
Yeah, that's exactly what I have. But there's also – it seems like there's a movie or two every year or so, or every other year, that crop up that – I have absolutely never heard of in my life that get nominated. But yeah, that's exactly the five I have. I hope it keeps it that simple.
Like The Secret of the Kells?
Yeah, and like the Cat movie, or I don't know. So I guess that just leaves Best Picture.
Yep.
Right?
Save the hardest for last.
Let me just explain what, since they changed the voting process where you don't know, there's not an exact number of nominees you know you're going to get. You're not going to, it's definitely not five or definitely not 10. You could get a range between those. And it's probably between 6 and 10. And quite frankly, it's probably going to be either 8 or 9. So I pick my top like 5 or 6 based on which ones I think get in. Everyone after that is like, well, that's the next one in. You know what I mean? Like 8s and, you know. So it makes it hard when I'm trying to figure out how many I get right because, well, I picked one that would have got in next, but it didn't get in. So, but anyways, I think the 5 are Spotlight, Revenant, Mad Max Fury Road, The Big Short. Those are 5. I also got Martian. And I really think Bridge of Spies gets in. And that's 6. So let me just tell you my 7, 8, 9, and 10. Sicario, Joy, Brooklyn, Room. I've got 3. Ex Machina, Straight Outta Compton, of course, the PGAs that I don't think will get nominated for Best Picture. There's also Inside Out that I think could get in. I left Steve Jobs out. I really think that could get in over Brooklyn or even Joy. It's just so tough to consider right now. I'm going to have to rethink these later this afternoon, but what do you have?
Yeah, this is really tough. This is the toughest category I think there is right now. And I think you're right that there are 6 just absolute locks in Spotlight, The Martian, The Revenant, The Big Short, Mad Max Fury Road, and Bridge of Spies. I think those all get in. From there, I'm going to go with, I think Carol is going to get a Best Picture nomination. I just do. Just
yeah.
All of the momentum that it had, the success that Todd Haynes has had before, it just makes sense to me that
yeah, totally.
It gets in. I don't know. And Kate Blanchett is in it, so that'll help. But
no, that's good. I think that's, you know, I left that one off, quite frankly. I didn't even think about that when I was jotting these down. It's just kind of dwindled in its, you know, buzz. But I definitely think that's almost as certain as Bridge of Spies, maybe.
Yeah, I really think so. I don't know. It's getting tough, though. And if it gets left out, it won't necessarily shock me. But I don't know. For the sake of predictions, I hope it makes it. Now, I had said before that I have a sneaking suspicion that Jacob Tremblay will get nominated for Room and that the screenplay will get nominated too. And I just think that if people are responding to Brie Larson's performance the way they are, and it's as sure a bet to win Best Actress as it seems to be right now, then that tells me that voters really respond to the movie as a whole. And I think that if it gets those others, then that is a good indicator that it might get a Best Picture nominee. So I'm going to go out on a small limb and say Room gets in. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I fear that it's going to be – take the place of Brooklyn, maybe. And I hate that these two movies have kind of pit themselves against each other, you know, stemming from the Best Actress race, but it just kind of feels like that's what's happening. I think Sicario has a shot of getting in, but I'm scared to include it. I think it's one of those on the outskirts, you know, kind of like Whiplash and Gone Girl were last year. That's where I think Sicario falls. So if there are 10 nominations, I think Sicario gets in, but I think we're going to
be
8 or 9. And I have the weird, again, sneaking suspicion that Star Wars gets a Best Picture nomination.
Oh, man.
And I don't know, just because of the box office is just so insane and people freaked out over it and the critics obviously really liked it. So I don't know. I think that it happens, but I don't necessarily feel that good about it.
Well, you raised some good points. I think we got Spotlight, Revenant, Martian, Mad Max, Fury Road, The Big Short, Bridge of Spies. I'm with you, Carol. That's 7, and I think you got Room. Sicario, The Force Awakens, Joy,
Running Out of
Brooklyn.
Room.
It's going to be really weird.
Well, and you got to look at the PGA nominees too, right? In that Sicario and Ex Machina and Straight Outta Compton all got nominations where Room and Star Wars didn't. So
my rule of thumb that I've just made myself go by this year is just taking off two from the PGA and replacing it with one, which means there would be, what's that math, 9?
Yeah.
Or you take off three and replace it with one or two, so it could be, you know, seven or eight. I definitely don't think there will be 6, and I definitely don't think there will be 10. It's going to be somewhere in between.
I'll say this, and I could be dead wrong, but I'm going to take a stand here. I don't think Straight Outta Compton gets a Best Picture nomination, and frankly, it would just surprise me if it did, because look, that movie is it's good. It is a good, solid movie. I just don't see that movie and think Best Picture nominee, you know, and it had a good box office showing, and it was mostly liked overall by critics. And so it would just surprise me if that snuck in, to be totally honest. And you know, if it did, then fine. I think that it's a reflection of a movie that moviegoers really liked this year, but I just don't think the critical reception did it any favors.
Well, what do you think about The Blind Side?
I think The Blind Side got in because it made $300 million.
Yeah, I think we got to – we need to say what's our Blind Side and what's our District 9, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what is our effects-driven – and there are several.
That would be Ex Machina.
Yeah. What is our effects-driven that's not a – your quote-unquote best picture, you know, fodder. It's what's kind of on the outliers, I guess, if that makes any sense. Yeah, I think Ex Machina is that, because I think The Force Awakens is such a huge powerhouse. The Force Awakens is your Blind Side and your District 9. You know, although it's, I'm not comparing it to District 9, it fits those outlier categories that say that every year it seems like they're going to nominate extremely loud and incredibly close, you know, movie.
Well,
like
I'm at least glad that there's not one of those this year.
Yeah, I hope not. What would that be?
Nothing. Like, that's the thing. Like,
I see what you're saying. Yeah,
I don't know. Like, The Danish Girl is probably the most Oscar-baity on the surface of any movies, but I don't see that getting in. I mean, anything is possible, I guess The Danish Girl would be that.
I think Redmayne, how many roles of a lifetime, if you're not Daniel Day-Lewis, how many roles of a lifetime can you take and people not get tired of you? It's my concern for Eddie Redmayne. It's my concern.
I just can't wait to see what he does next. Like, he needs to pull off, like, the trifecta of Oscar Beatty performances, you know? And the Academy has fallen for it. You know, one time they gave him the Oscar for Theory of Everything, and you know, it's a fine performance, but I mean that one just kind of frustrated me. I don't know, just because they took the bait so hook, line, and sinker the way that they did. I mean, I know people have their issues with Birdman or whatever winning Best Picture and the movie in general, and I'm not sure that Birdman has aged that well even after a year for a lot of people, but I did think that Michael Keaton deserved Best Actor last year, and I thought that the campaign caught up with him, and he didn't perform the way that Eddie Redmayne did, and it cost him the Oscar. And so, you know, you hate to see that stuff, and we talked about that earlier, but yeah, I mean, I don't see Redmayne winning the Oscar this year, but I do think that performance will be sort of the lone representation that it has at the Oscars outside of the tech categories.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, well, I guess that wraps it up. Been nice talking to you.
Yeah, totes.
And we will be back with the Oscar nomination reaction podcast, episode 4 of Oscar Seasoning. That will be coming up very soon, so keep your eyes and ears open for that. Ben, have a good day. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, Craig.
For more from the Film Nerds, go to filmnerds.com. and aspectradioshow.com.